Christmas time's coming. Christmas time's coming. You ain't going back my country home.
Falling, my home's a calling, tall pines are humming, Christmas times are coming.
Can't you hear the magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, November 30th, 2016, day four of Advent, Jason. And I want to ask you a little about Advent. And I so appreciate how the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet is distributing those Advent calendars with the chocolate in them. And I can't wait for tomorrow to start so Esther and I can begin that practice. And I want you to share about the influence it's had on your children. And who knows, maybe this Sunday somebody that doesn't have a church home or wants to know a little more about Advent and how it works, or begin that December 1st with the Advent calendar, you can set them up with that special gift. But before we talk a little about that, I want to give our listeners a great update, because they've been praying up the Great News Radio Center and have been involved financially, and so much has been going on. And in fact, as soon as this program over, I'm going to be posting a photo as almost everything arrived last night. I carted it all in, got it all set up, and maybe today or the next few days we'll be finishing up the wiring to get the microphones and the mixer board and the boom arms and everything set up to get the studio operational soon. So it was a banner day. And that Facebook post, I gave you a sneak preview late last night, but I want to share that with everyone because it's really coming together. And our CDs are out and being purchased, and you can now stop by our website, the station's Facebook page, or my personal page, and there's a Woofoo form link that you can purchase the copies right through this easy-to-fill-out form. And whether it's you want one of all three CDs or three of one, it includes different ways for you to either pick it up or have them mailed to you or to a friend. And you can pay online or send in a check or call it in with your credit card. So lots of options. And those Singing Men CDs are available. And if you tuned in for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, you heard me play a number of selections off those three CDs. So we're very excited to have our third CD titled Holy, Holy, Holy out and available as a great stocking stuffer, Christmas gift, something you can pass on to a friend, as it's God-honoring music. And we do have a couple selections on Holy, Holy, Holy that's very timely for this Christmas season. Mary, Did You Know? And The Finale, and Alleluia, Emmanuel. So a couple great Christmas songs. And then two things about the Singing Men of GNN. Tonight we're singing the national anthem at the women's basketball game at the Assembly Hall at 7 p.m. sharp. So I think they give us, Jason, a very slight window, like to the second, where I think like 15 seconds to 7 p.m. we have to walk out, be set, and be done by 7:02. So by tip-off, the tip-off's right at 7 or 7:02, we have to be off the court. So the Singing Men will be singing the national anthem tonight at the U of I women's basketball game. And then this Sunday, we'll be putting on our first Christmas concert at the Victory Church in Camargo, Illinois, 103 East 2nd Street. Free concert, so come join us. And that's, again, the Victory Church in Camargo, 103 East 2nd Street. So that's the first of three Singing Men Christmas concerts we'll be presenting. This now our 19th year of singing at the Christmas time. So we are appreciative that God has given us that longevity and the passion of these guys to continue to sing and rehearse. And we have a number of new selections we can't wait to share with our listeners. So put this Sunday night, 6 p.m. at the Camargo Church on your calendar, and we hope to see you. And I'll be bringing along those CDs if you want to buy them in person. But if you stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org, you'll see a whole mechanism or means to easily fill out a form or call it in, and we'll get those sent to you so you can have them as Christmas gifts or just enjoy now and throughout the year. So, hey, we're in day four of Advent, and I liked how you shared on Sunday. You kind of laid the groundwork. What is Advent? Why this is a special time of year? And yet many people will start actually their Advent calendar December 1st tomorrow. And so share a little about Advent, because I was really blessed by your remarks this past Sunday. And then if they do show up to the Community Evangelical Free Church on Sunday, I think you have some of these Advent calendars filled with chocolate available for everyone. So what is the season? Why should we be excited about this time of year?
Well, Advent officially marks the season of waiting. It's the five Sundays that lead us into Christmas. It comes from the Latin word adventus, which means toward the coming. So we're moving towards the coming. Now, Advent, if you look in a dictionary, Advent means arrival of a notable person or event. And so the most notable thing that could happen into history was when God shed divinity and came in humanity into poverty so that God might be with us, as the Bible says, but that God would touch us also. Hmm. And so it's one of the greatest things, the greatest event that ever happened in history, where God humbled himself and he came amongst us. Romans 8 tells us in the beginning, in the likeness of sinful flesh. And so we set aside this time leading into Christmas to prepare our hearts. You know, we sing that hymn that says, prepare him room. You know, this idea that when we're singing this hymn, we're talking about God, help us to prepare room, because our schedules are so busy. Our lives are so filled up. Our minds are so filled up. Our hearts are so filled up. And even if they're not filled up, we tend to fill them up ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to create things to do. I mean, I don't know anybody who has gone out of their way to fill their time up with Bible study, you know, with filling themselves up with God's Word. And I'm not saying that there's not people out there who aren't doing that. I want to be kind and generous in that. But by and large, I find people don't do that. What they do, but they'll go way out of their way to fill up their days full of soccer games and going here and going there and this errand and that errand. And don't you know I have to do that? We have, you know, these massive day planners, or we have that stuff in our phone. And in that, we don't have a lot of time set aside for God, a lot of time set aside for the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet God, on a day in history, you know, an actual physical day in history, set aside the time to humble himself and to enter into humanity. And so in the Christian sense, there are three Advents, three notable comings. The first one is when Jesus took on flesh and he came down and he walked amongst us. When he came into the nativity and was born of a virgin, we see that in the early chapters of Luke and the early chapters of Matthew. The second Advent is the one that's continual. It's as Jesus comes into our lives and into our hearts and radically changes us with the work that was done on the cross, his shed blood. And the third Advent is the one that those of us who are Christians now are waiting expectantly for. Maybe in this season that we've been in, that our country's been in, and our world seems to be, and some of us are waiting for it all the more, which is Jesus coming again in glory. You know, that the heavens will part and that Jesus will come down with a sword in his mouth, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two, as the Old Testament prophecy says. And so you have a first coming with the flesh. You have a second coming where Jesus continually moves and comes into our hearts. He's actively seeking and saving the lost. And then we have a third Advent where Jesus comes in glory. Now, a lot of people will say, well, how does that translate into kind of what's happening in December? You know, what we're doing now? Well, they track Advent back to about 480 A.D. There started to be this mention of celebrating or setting aside and preparing time, but it wasn't until the Council of Tours in 567 A.D. that it was mandated that monks would fast every day in December. In fact, they called it the Fast of the Nativity. And so they would set aside time every day for specific devotions to prepare their hearts for the ministry that they were going to do to celebrate the Lord's Day at Christmas. And so this became the tradition that we have for Advent, where we set aside this time and we light candles. There are candles that will light for hope and for love and joy and peace. They're either purple or pink. And then we always have a white candle that's lit on Christmas Eve, and that's the Christ candle. This year we're going to be blessed to be able to have that Advent Sunday on Sunday itself, so we'll light that on Sunday morning. But Advent is just this time that we celebrate and set aside. It's supposed to be a time of preparation. And so I think that it's very advantageous for us to... You like that, didn't you?
I wasn't tracking. I think I haven't been sleeping, and I was like, it kind of went by me. I thought, gosh, he kind of paused a little long there.
Yeah, it's advantageous that we would have some sort of means or mechanism to help us do that. It's something that I've been passionate about. In our own home, we have an Advent book that we purchased a long time ago, and we get the calendars with the little doors and the chocolate. We buy that every year. And we go through the book, and what happens is, you know, when you go through the book, it's not like you do page one on day one, page two on day two. You do page one on day one, you do page one and two on day two, you do page one, two, three on day three. And so the best teacher is always repetition. And so we get our kids around, and they read the, now they're old enough, they read the book, but they begin to hide it in their hearts, Mark. They begin to internalize it. In fact, last year, you know, we pulled out the book and Abigail wanted to read it. Now then, she's 5 years old. She recited the first five pages from memory without even having to look at the five pages because she's been hearing it every day. And so as they hear this, they hide this into their hearts. He will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. I can think of nothing better to say or to hide in my heart than words like that. You know, it reminds me of the story, one of Jacob's, my son's favorite stories, of Charles Spurgeon. He was going to be preaching in Exeter Hall. Anybody who knows anything about Charles Spurgeon, he would preach to crowds of 20,000 people. But they didn't have any microphones in that time, in the 1800s. They didn't have microphones. They didn't have those kinds of things. And so he would get up, and they would have him on a higher platform, and he would just preach. And so he wanted to test the acoustics, so he walked the stairs up to the podium, and he got up there, and he was so filled with Scripture, Charles Spurgeon was, that the only thing he could think to say is, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And he was happy with the acoustics of Exeter Hall, so he came back down, and he was walking out. And as he was walking out, there's a man standing there who was just stunned. And Charles Spurgeon said, What is the matter with you, man?" He goes, "I just heard God speak." And Charles Spurgeon said, "Well, what did he say?" He said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And Charles Spurgeon said, "God did just speak." Mm-hmm. And right there, that man was saved. And I say that story because there's a power in God's words. You know, sometimes we think we have to fluff up God's words. We think we have to somehow, you know, make them sound better or different than they are in His Word. And His Word has a power alone. So we have to share His words. And so I can think nothing better, again, than my kids could hide in their hearts. Any kids could hide in their hearts. Adults could hide in their hearts some words like, "He shall be called Emmanuel," which means God with us. Because all of us need to be reminded that God is with us.
Now, I know that you have this calendar with the chocolate in it, but didn't you also prepare like some scripture readings? So is that something that you put together, or do you have that available for somebody that would stop by the Community Evangelical Free Church? Because I like that repetition, and maybe the listener didn't quite understand, but like day one, you do the reading. Then day two, mm-hmm. you do the first day and the second day. And, you know, so day seven, you do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. So by December 26th, literally, you got to carve out like about a half hour for all the reading, because it's like a simple verse or a quick little verse and a thought or something. There's a combination in that booklet that you also hand out with the calendar, right?
Yeah. So there was a little booklet that we created so to help guide people through. Now, there are all kinds of Advent books. Now, we use at home a book that we've had for many, many years. It's become just kind of our tradition here at home. But I created this generic little booklet so that people could be able to have something to take, because a lot of people are not going to make the investment in something else until they see what the investment pays. And so you've got to give them a mechanism. You've got to make it easy. That's why we do what we do at our church. I give you the chocolate calendars. We've got them at church right now. I think we got 75 or 100 of them we brought in. We printed out the booklets. There's no cost to anybody. What I want to do is just get them into people's hands, because I know the power of hiding God's word in your heart. I know the power of preparing your heart to receive Christ. And see, that's one of the great lessons that the Bible teaches us in terms of Matthew and Luke, is that those people who prepared room in their hearts received Christ differently than those who did not. You have, throughout the Gospels, people coming up to Jesus and they don't understand who he is, what he is, and what's going on. And because they were not preparing themselves for the Messiah to come. They hoped he would come. They wanted him to come. Every good Jew was hoping and expectant that the Messiah would come. But They were not actively preparing themselves so that when the Messiah came, they would know what he looked like, and they would see him, and they would embrace him, and they would love him. And yet you have people like Simeon and Anna, and you have people like Mary and Joseph, and you have different people through the Bible who God had them preparing their hearts to receive Christ. I mean, just think about it. You've got this old man, Simeon, who's standing on the steps of the temple every single day, waiting for what he called the consolation of Israel, waiting for the Messiah to come. And when he sees the baby, that fruition of all the preparation that happened, he lifts the baby up in the air, and he doesn't say, you know, "Oh, Mary, what a fine baby you have here." He doesn't say that at all. Instead, his heart just begins to pour out, I think, the fruit of the preparation that's been happening inside of it. And he begins to say just these beautiful things. In fact, it's almost like a song that he sings. And so if you see the fruit in the Bible of preparing yourself to receive Christ. And you know what? That was the thing that the last prophet to speak in the Old Testament was Malachi. And if you go back and you read the book of Malachi, it's fascinating because Malachi is a series of questions that are being asked. You know, the first question being, the Lord says, in verse 1, "I have loved you," says the Lord. And the people of Israel say, "But how have you loved us?" The second question is, "O priest, you despise my name," but you say, "How have we despised your name?" I mean, this is not a time and a place in history. This is actively how the human heart is. The human heart says, "Oh, God, how have you loved me? What do you love me?" I mean, think about how many times we've asked God, "Do you love me?" when we know that he loved us because he sent his son. The Bible tells us that. And how many times have we despised his name, or have people despised his name? How many times have people walked away from the Lord? How many times people have asked questions of the Lord concerning things that he has clearly told us? But one of the things that just blows me away about the book of Malachi, because you have these last words that I'll share with you, and then you have 400 to 600 years of silence before Christ comes. And the last words that Malachi says is this. Chapter 4 and verse 4, "Remember the law of my servant Moses and statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all of Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." Now, some people are reading, hear me say that, and they go, "Well, what does that mean?" Well, let's just look at that again. Verse 4 says, "Remember the law, my servant Moses, and the statutes of rules that he commanded." Remember the law. Then what does he say? "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet." Now, doesn't that sound familiar, Mark? Mm-hmm. All the law and the prophets hang on what? The love of God that will be manifested in Jesus Christ. At the end of the last words in the book of Malachi, harkens forward to what Jesus is going to say is the greatest commandment of God. And then he says he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. That's told to us in the New Testament, too, concerning the coming of Christ and the work of Christ as he changes hearts. And so the last book of the Old Testament before Christ comes is all these questions that people have about God that have not died. There's still questions that are around today. And it ends with this proclamation that God is going to make again through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so we need to prepare room to receive him. Maybe for us, we need to prepare room because the idea of hope and love and peace and joy are so foreign to us. And we need to remember that he is the God of all hope, that he is the God who manifested his love, so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, that we might abound in joy, that we might know a depth of peace that transcends understanding. And so we need to prepare room because there isn't any. Because for many of us, we're so filled up with so much other junk that we don't have room to receive Christ. And then Christmas becomes about presents and food. And at the end of it, we are so utterly tired instead of absolutely filled up with the presence of God. And that's what we need to do. You know, that's where we need to put our focus. So again, I'm passionate about that. That's why we've got the 25-day chocolate calendars ready to go at the church. If somebody wants to stop by and come get one on Sunday morning, because we're going to have a great message out of Romans 15:13 about the God of all hope who helps us to abound in love and peace and joy. And we're going to have the Advent devotional guides, too. You can grab one of those, too. So any listener wants to stop by and get one of those, I want to give it to you. I want it to be my gift to you, contingent upon the fact that you would covet to me that you would read that with somebody, that you would every day work to prepare room in your heart to receive Christ at Christmas.
Hmm. And I have one right in front of me. The cover is Advent, Every Heart, Prepare Him Room. And I like at the beginning you give a little overview, preparing our hearts for the coming of the Christ child. And day one, which starts tomorrow. So I'm thinking, people, for sure attend the Community Evangelical Free Church on Sunday. But get over there today, and that way you can have this ready to begin tomorrow, December 1st. But I like how you have a scripture verse, then a prayer, and then, if you will, additional reading. And so day one, December 1st, tomorrow begins with, Sing, O daughters of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughters of Jerusalem. And then it's the citation, Zephaniah 3:14. And then there's a prayer. Lord, prepare our hearts to rejoice. We want to be glad today and to rejoice with all of our hearts. May we be filled with joy because we seek you and because you have saved us. Help us to sing and give you thanks as we wait for the coming of the Christ child. And then see also Psalm 13:5. 1 Chronicles 16:10 and Psalm 28:7b. Well, listening friend, the Community Evangelical Free Church is in Mahomet, Illinois, right on Route 47, kind of right between I-72 and I-74. So you get on either one of those highways and either go south or go north. If you're on 74, head south. If you're on 72, head north. And it's on River Bend Road. It's right on 47 and River Bend Road. And this is a great resource. And you can begin it tomorrow with a friend, with a family member, with a child, or just for your own reading. And thank you, Jason, that the Community Evangelical Free Church has these available. And they can pick up a little piece of chocolate. And maybe it'll be the first time somebody will be introduced to you and they say, you know, I don't have a church home. And so they'll give you an opportunity to, you know, bless them with the realization that God calls us to gather, to assemble on Sundays to worship him.
Yeah. Yeah. Hebrews tells us in the 10th chapter, do not forsake the gathering together as some are in the habit of doing, but stir one another up towards love and good works, all the more as we see the day dawning. So all the more as we wait expectantly on that third coming of Jesus, the coming of glory. We gather together. We stir one another up towards love and good works with encouragement, helping one another to walk faithfully towards the Lord Jesus Christ.
And all of God's people said, a chorus of amen. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.